If you are a marketing enthusiast and you wish to learn the tricks up the sleeves of seasoned marketeers, you are at the right place. I am your host, Nishant Goyal, and this is the Marketing Chakravyuh podcast, where I invite accomplished marketeers from around the world and pick on their brain, asking questions that would help you understand the mystery of marketing and grow yourself to heights. Whether you are a student, entrepreneur, or a marketer yourself, this is where you can learn the untold secrets of marketing from the people you admire and love. Today we have with us Mitangi Parekh, the growth marketing manager of Boast.ai, a fintech company based out of Canada. She is a self-taught digital marketer and content creator who started her career at a B2C company before transitioning into B2B tech space. She is also a freelance content creator and marketing consultant specializing in health tech and wellness-based startups given her science background. So let's jump into the conversation with Mitangi.
So Mitangi, I was curious, how did you get into marketing? What's your moment of, I want to shift to marketing after your background in biology?
Yeah, so it was one of those moments where I really had to sit down and think about what I wanted to do. And, as soon as it became clear to me even why I didn't want to pursue something in science or healthcare or academics, it really was because either I didn't like the politics or I didn't like that you were kind of just chugging away in a machine. And it's very difficult to become one of the, I don't want to say biggest scientists, but it's very hard to become well known in a field of academia or of medicine. It's very, very difficult. And I was a very ambitious little person. What is the likelihood compared to some of the other, some of the other industries, what's the likelihood? And I decided for some reason that it's not that easy. And it's fine if it's not easy, but you should at least enjoy the work that you're doing because that makes it a lot better. But in my volunteering experience, I also wasn't really enjoying the work that I was doing. So I figured this is not the right decision for me. So I left and, now I had a science degree and now I had an English degree and I needed to figure out what I wanted to do. So I, like every other English graduate, I got a job at Starbucks for a couple of years to try and figure out, because as ambitious as I am, I'm also very easily distracted. So there's so many things that I started realizing that I never considered. I was so focused in on science and then later English that, there's a multitude of different careers that I could have kind of gotten more experience with when I was in university. That I just didn't because I was focused on one thing. So now I wanted to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. So because I was very easily distracted and I started coming up with five new things every single day, I decided I'm going to sit down instead and think about what I want to be doing. So what do I want to get out of the industry that I'm in? And that meant, okay, so let's write down, what do I enjoy doing? Do I enjoy creating? Do I enjoy, putting numbers on a screen? Because I've done some work for my dad, he's an accountant. So I had that experience not doing anything in accounting ever. So that took out all of the finance related careers as well. But
wow.
I was very good at eliminating, not very good at coming up with what was right. But ultimately, I mean, I kept coming back to creating, and I've been a writer my whole life, and I've never, you know, I've never written nonfiction things aside from what I had to for school, but I love fiction so much. I was a big reader. I pretty much wrote like a ridiculous amount when I was in middle school and high school. It was a very big part of my identity. So I decided, okay, so writing means I'm creating something, which means that I'm storytelling, which means, okay, so what does that align to? And for me, that aligned very easily to marketing. But from my understanding at that point, marketing was still a very corporate job. And I, you know, you kind of think of marketing the same way maybe you guys think of marketing in India, which is you have to wear formal business attire and, you know, a suit and a jacket and go to work. And then you're just kind of thinking about charts and graphs and whatever on your screen. And like, that is boring. And also I had decided I would never want to work at a company that made me dress in formal business attire. Like that is, I'm so uncomfortable in wearing a pantsuit that it is just, it's not going to be an enjoyable experience. And it's such a minor thing, but it was very important for me. So that took away some companies now and gave me kind of like a niche idea of what type of marketing I might want to do. And that's around the time that social media marketing was really kicking off. And, you know, people were doing digital marketing already from, you know, way before, but now there were more and more bigger companies that were investing heavily in digital marketing. So my problem now became that I had zero experience in anything. I blogged and I did some tweeting, but I had zero experience in making strategic decisions or creating posts for social media. So I got an internship at this smaller e-commerce company. It was like maybe four people, including the owners. And so, you know, I did the internship for 3 months. I was very lucky. I had a great manager and she was so patient. She taught me about SEO. She taught me about SEM and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of these different things. I learned so much from her in 3 months and they decided to keep me for full time after the internship was over. So in the total, like 9 months that I was there, it was a big learning curve. Like that was my essentially boot camp into social media and digital marketing. And then, you know, I kind of decided, okay, it's time to move on. And I needed to find a better job that paid a little bit more. And I went from a B2C company to a B2B company. And even then, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing for business to business. All I knew was, I'm a good writer. I've got some, you know, Adobe experience. I can do Photoshop. I can do some minor things in terms of design. Literally, I just need somebody to take a chance. And I applied, I think, for 8 months or something insanely crazy. And I finally got a call back from the company that I ended up with. And yeah, that was it. I mean, I was very upfront with them saying, hey, I don't have all the skills that you're looking for, but this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. But I'm learn everything. Like I will literally, if you tell me to learn something, I will learn it. And they're like, okay, all right, you're hired. I'm like, okay, great.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, So Mithangi, something, you know, I've observed with a lot of marketeers, you have to be a person who likes to be in different shoes.
Yeah.
Like yourself, you wanted to be, you know, try out different things, different jobs, had interest in multiple fields. Do you think that's a prerequisite to be a good marketer, or it helps considerably in your marketing skills?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, I mean, especially when you're starting out, marketing now is so different than what marketing used to be, right? Before, I think you could go to business school and learn the theoretical behind, like the theories and whatever behind marketing, do maybe two or three case studies, and you could fit into any corporate role. But if you now think about marketing at any smaller company, even a startup, they don't care what you study, right? But they care that we only have budget for one marketing manager, maybe two if we're lucky, right? So for you to be a great candidate into that position, you have to demonstrate that you can do a lot of things well enough. You don't have to specialize in everything. You don't have to be an expert in every single thing, but you have to know how to do, I would say, about like 80% of the things that you'll be taking on, because you're going to be working with people that have no idea. So you need to tell them, hey, I think this is the right option, and we need to do it in, you know, ABC method, and kind of come in with expertise. So even in my role now, I mean, my manager, he's wanting to focus now more on the product side, but he's a great marketer. He knows it really, really well. He just doesn't have the bandwidth, which is why they ended up having to hire somebody for marketing specifically. I still learn more about how to message our services and our products and whatnot from our current VP of sales, because he's been doing it for so long. So it's not that I came in with this expertise on every single thing, but it's more that I knew enough about marketing overall where they felt confident that they don't have to do it day to day and they can focus on their own work. So as an example, you know, I don't know the details, and I definitely don't have the expertise on paid acquisition. So on advertising, if we wanted to advertise on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, I know how to set all of the ads up. I have a very intuitive understanding of what kind of visuals people might respond well to, what kind of, you know, captions people might respond well to, things like that. But I mean, the level of expertise you need to do manual bidding or to figure out audience targeting or set up conversion tracking, things like that, and then monitor it every single day, I don't have the expertise for that. But because at least I know a fair bit about design, a fair bit about, you know, things here or there, I can give an input and say, hey, this creative piece isn't working or this image isn't working. I'm going to go and design something else that reflects the type of work that we do a little bit better. And we're going to test that instead. So you have to know at least, like, you have to know more than what your direct job is, and you need to make an effort to learn even more.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, in both times that I was looking for a job, right, between my first ever job and the one that I had before my current role, I was looking for a job for about 6 months or 5 months. And it took me a long time to realize that at that point, I was looking for the wrong job. So, I mean, I was just looking at a company and saying, oh yeah, this is something that I can do. But it was a role that was not the right fit for me experience-wise or something that I was interested in. It was a very sort of like, I was applying to it because I just needed another job. Mm-hmm. And then even now, I mean, I technically, after I think 4 years or something, I never officially really, really started looking for a job, but sometimes I would have sometimes I would have companies or recruiters reach out to me and say, hey, you know, I think you'd be a great fit because this is what we're hoping to do. And this is where we see your experience come in. And I would honestly get to the last round of the interview process and everything looked great. And then I wouldn't get a job. And if I ask for feedback, they would say, oh, it was because, you know, when we asked you these questions, you weren't entirely confident in your answer. So it was nothing about my work or my experience. It was more that I just at that point wasn't able to communicate what I did know. So they kind of saw it as a lack of understanding or a lack of experience or whatever it is. But even afterwards, once they tell me and I think about what I said, I would have to tell myself, right, like even I wouldn't hire somebody based on that because you know the answer to this and it wasn't what you said. Your answer should have been ABC. Like this is what they were looking for. So, I mean, I was job hunting for maybe 8 months, but again, there was a lot of issues also most recently because of the pandemic, right? So that kind of stretched it out way more than expected, but it really is hard to go on, you know, interview after interview after interview. And a lot of the times they'll have you do like a case study or do like a short experiment or something like that to demonstrate your skills. And to have to keep doing that over and over and over again, you kind of just get really put down because you're just like, what am I missing? You know, you start doubting yourself all over again. And then you stop and then you have to start again because you're like, no, I need to find another job. And yeah, I mean, it's rough. It's really rough to try and find a job sometimes and you're not making any progress. But ultimately, I think everything should just be a learning opportunity.
Okay, wow. So since Mitangi, you have such a detailed experience and of job hunting and getting jobs, if you were to, you know, start from the scratch when you were just in university studying, no work experience, and today you have to go out and hunt for a job, mm-hmm. how would you start? Or what would you do? No portfolio, no nothing. Just, 22 years old kid. And
yeah, I think it's try and figure out if you know what you want to do, or at least a very rough idea of what you want to do, then just start doing it yourself. Because the biggest things that I have seen, especially here in North America, is now you had our generation of parents, which, you know, they put so much emphasis and importance on getting an education and getting a 4-year degree and going to university and all of that so you can get a good job, that you learn a lot of the theory, but you don't get the level of practical experience that companies are now looking for. And it's so hard to find an entry-level job that doesn't require 1 to 2 years or even 3 years of experience. And then, you know, as a new grad, you kind of sit down and say, I just graduated. I am an entry-level candidate, but an entry-level company wants me to get 3 years of experience. So how am I supposed to get experience for an entry-level job if I can't find an entry-level job? So it's really like it's a catch-22, right? So my kind of experience has been whatever you're trying to do, do it for yourself. So if you're trying to become a photographer, take the opportunity and start doing photography for yourself. Use that as a portfolio to then get the type of clients that you're looking for. If you want to be a writer, if you want to work for a B2B company, if you want to work for a B2C company, then you need to start blogging. You need to start finding a way to demonstrate to all of these companies that, look, I created this piece of work. It got this much traffic. This is what it translated into as results. And if you hire me, I can do this for you, right? I don't know if you're on TikTok as a platform, but it is insane. I signed up for it last year in March at some point, and it's ridiculous the amount of creative things that I've seen people do, right? Like, you will see those, you know, crazy pranks and dances and whatever, and that's one side. But then you see 1 minute long videos about, you know, with special effects and somebody showing, oh, I'm in my college dorm and this is how I shot a commercial for Nintendo. And it's just, they kind of, in 30 seconds, they show you the raw footage and they show you the setup. And then in the last 30 seconds, they show you the edited commercial, right? And these are kids in college that are doing this. So to me, if I'm a client, if I'm Nintendo, or if I'm, you know, anybody else that likes what they produce, I'm just going to reach out to them and say, hey, I want to work with you. What are your rates? Or, hey, you know, what are you going to charge for producing this other piece of video that we want? There's so many people now that are getting jobs off of YouTube, off of TikTok, off of literally just creating things for themselves and then putting that out into the world. It's how you get better. It's how you gain more experience when nobody else wants to give you that experience. And it's the best way of getting your foot in the door, to be honest.
Okay, so get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Build a personal brand, build something to show, build a portfolio. That's the first step.
Yeah, you have to build a portfolio. It's the old school way of getting a job with just your resume and a cover letter. I mean, for new grads, it's so, so, so much more difficult now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So okay. For me, for example, if I know that I want to be in the next like 5 or 10 years, if I want to be director of content at a bigger company or whatever it is, I almost need to talk and I need to network with people that have those positions now and say, what were the most important things that you learned along the way? And then have enough of those conversations that I can figure out, well, you know what? Across the board, everybody said that you need to understand the fundamentals. What are the fundamentals? Okay, great. Then everybody said to learn how to work with the product and, you know, the product team and another team to determine strategy. Okay, so that's another thing that I need to do. And you, as a result of those conversations, you'll start figuring out the pattern. And once you have that pattern, you've got your steps.
Okay, wow. How does your day look like today? Like, what is your work day? What does your work day look like?
It really depends on the day-to-day. But for example, today, you know, I woke up, had my coffee. I usually like to kind of spend an hour waking up. I've woken up and I'm awake, but my brain is still kind of very hazy. So I usually it takes me about an hour before I'm mentally ready to like start looking at work. And then I kind of have to go through everything that I need to do to close out the week. So Mondays are my team sync meetings. And, you know, we kind of start getting ready for what the most urgent things are, what I need to get done, who I need to work with, if there's any meetings, blah, blah, blah. All of that gets settled in on Monday. So I know that by the end of Friday, I have a list of tasks that need to get done. So on a day like today, for example, I know that I'm working on editing some sales kit material for our sales team. So I need to spend my day making sure that I've made all of my edits and then passing them off to the VP of sales so he can take a look and give me his feedback. And then once he's sitting with those PDFs, then I need to go and work on landing pages that we need to create. So I don't usually have a day-to-day list anymore. I usually have a weekly list now, and it's just things might get reordered according to priority. If somebody comes to me and says, can you please quickly reformat these slides because I need them, then I stop what I'm doing and I need to switch that very fast. And then it's back to my own list.
Okay. So Mithangi, with that, with all the experience you have had, you must have worked with people who recently graduated with possibly a degree in marketing as well. Do you think the degree impacts the students' capabilities in marketing or their knowledge or their real world performance in essence?
I'm going to say no, regardless. From my own experience and my own journey, I didn't study marketing. I have no formal education in marketing. No, it's absolutely not necessary at all, because, you know, sometimes you might find a great person that has a very intuitive understanding of how to market a product or how to market a service, and they might not have gone to school, but that shouldn't be the limiting factor, right? Like, it all has to be rooted in experience, in my opinion. And if you can demonstrate to me that you're a great writer, or if you demonstrate to me that, you know, you can run different marketing campaigns and you have a strategy behind what you're choosing to run and why you're choosing to run that, then that's all I care about. That's all anybody should really care about. There's always going to be certain industries and certain careers where a formal education will be a necessity, like, you know, investment banking. Yeah, it would be great if you understand how to make those investment banking decisions. It's very hard to get in there with no formal education and kind of just wing it, right? Like, that's infinitely harder. Same thing with computer engineering. It's going to help if you have a computer engineering background, but if you can demonstrate that you have the same knowledge as somebody that has graduated from that program, I don't think anybody really cares if you have a degree to back it up. Because, I mean, can you really differentiate between a computer engineer who was top of their class with a computer engineer who barely passed but still got the degree? Right?
Thanks, Mithangi. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
So that was our conversation. Hope you found it helpful. Tell us your most useful learning from this episode, and I will give you a free entry into our exclusive merchandise giveaway. Oh, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button and tell your friends how much you love this podcast. See you in the next episode. This was Marketing Chakraview Podcast, and I am Nishant Goel signing out.